WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day today, friends. And I hope everything is going well with you and you're getting ready for Christmas. And, you know, I've been raving at the church and amongst friends that Christmas falls on a Saturday this year. It's like there is, you know, that old saying, there's no rest for the weary. Business as usual at the station. Other than Friday off, Christmas Eve, we have a service at church Christmas Eve, which you are invited to, by the way. If you are not doing anything, if you'd like to come to a Christmas Eve service, ours is at 5:30 p.m. Island Community Church. We're at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. It'll be a one-hour-long service, lots of music, a little bit of preaching, but you're invited. We'd love to see you. That's tomorrow evening at 5:30. Here today now, we're going to hear a sermon I preached a couple Christmases back. It's called Jesus is the Reason for the Season. This will play today and probably tomorrow as well. For more info on me, of course, Paul at WGODradio.com. That's my email address if you'd like to get a hold of me. The website's WGODradio.com. The app is WGOD Radio. I encourage you, download that app. Get these programs inside of you. Listen to the Word of God. God's got a word for you today. If you tune in to His frequency, let's see where we end up here today. Jesus is the reason for the season.
Okay, Jesus is the reason for the season. Hallelujah.
That's what we're looking at here today. Merry Christmas to everyone. Now today I want to talk a little bit, actually I want to talk a lot today about Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Just like Sergeant Schultz on Hogan's Heroes, right? I know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing else matters. Everything else pales in comparison to knowing Jesus. Nothing else matters. No seminar, no other sermon I could give you, no other teaching. I am determined to know nothing else. That's why we're here today. In Him we live, in Him we move, and in Him we have our being. That is, we exist. You don't want to mention His name on television, on the radio? That's okay. I'll mention it for you. That is Jesus. Have you noticed He's not on television this Christmas? I have not heard the name of Jesus. I haven't heard Merry Christmas on television yet. That's okay. We'll make up for it here. We will mention it here. Jesus is the reason for this season. We preempt our regular scheduled programs to bring you this special message today. Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, what Christmas sermon would be complete without a message on the reason for the season, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's what we're going to do here today. I want to point us all to the Savior this morning, the one whom we all worship, the one who's worthy of all of our praise. That is Jesus the Christ. Now, John wrote in his gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. Now, there's an English teacher's nightmare. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So answer me this. How can you be with someone and still be that someone all at the same time? How can you? Right? If you're God, you can. You can be with someone and still be with someone and still be that someone at the same time. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. I love parsing words. That's my passion. Simple, little ordinary words, like the word was. Now, I hated English growing up in school, but I love studying it now. This little word was. The word is in the imperfect tense. You know what that means? That means you can't point to a time when it started. Its goings forth is from eternity. In the beginning was. We don't know when it started. It's just like Micah 5:2. When Micah says, he says that out of Bethlehem will come forth ones whose beginnings were from everlasting. Speaking of the Christ. In the beginning was the Word. There's no time of starting for this. He's been since the beginning. Figure out when the beginning is, and you'll figure out when Jesus started. He didn't start. He's always existed. Hello, Jehovah's Witness. He's got no beginning. He is from the beginning. He is from everlasting. The Greek word here, logos. L-O-G-O-S, logos, means more than just word to these Greeks. Logos is the principle that governs the entire universe in Greek thought. The Stoics employed logos for the soul of the world. Logos is everything. It's an ordering principle for the universe. Logos is the divine logic that gives order to this universe. What do you think? What thinkest thou? Tad important for those that pen the scriptures, don't you think? Logos is everything. It is thought. It is speech. John attributes this word, logos, to a person. His name is Jesus, the Word of God. In English, logos appears as our word ology. When you see the word ology, O-L-O-G-Y, ology. It's the study of something, right? Theology, study of God. Geology, study of the earth. Anthropology, the study of man. Christology, the study of Christ. But he is theology. He's not only the study of something, he's the something. He's on the other end of the somethingology. He is theology. He is everything. He's the logos that governs the universe. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. I don't just say this to you on Christmas, 2 weeks out of the year. We preach Jesus here the other 50 weeks out of the year, too. It's the reason we're here. Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. The Savior left his home in heaven, came down here to earth to save you from your sins. And to offer to you both the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Logos. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says this, the message of the cross. King James says preaching. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who perish, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Guess what the Greek word is for message? Or preaching, all depending on your translation. Logos. The logos of the cross. The Christ of the cross. Even preaching, if it's done right, is the logos. It's Christ. Even preaching means Jesus, the Word. At least anything worthwhile of preaching needs to be Jesus. The Word of God who gives order to the universe. Think about it. Jesus is the Word of God. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm a little excited about that. Lord gets me excited. I can still go home and cheer a football game, but I get excited here. So don't call me a hypocrite. God excites me to no end. I wouldn't be here today. I would have packed it up and quit 2 weeks ago when my wife left this world. But we continue. We go on. Bible says to live is Christ. And that was her life. But to die is gain. And that's her life now. She's having a much better day today than I am. And I'm having a great day. That's all right. Wait till 1 o'clock. God help me. God's word for you today is the word. All right, we're looking at 4 points. 4 main facts about the Savior. Number 1 is Jesus is the Word of God, which perfectly leads us into number 2, and that is Jesus Christ is the Creator of life. Colossians 1:16. If you choose to believe what the Bible says, if not, then don't even waste your time. We won't even have this conversation. The Bible says this, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. A King James says all things were created by him or for him. Take that preposition any way that you want. They're both right. By him, all things were created. Remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Creator of life. Don't believe it when they knock on your door on Saturday morning and tell you that Jesus Christ is a created being. Keep on reading the text here. Firstborn from the dead, firstborn means preeminent over all. It doesn't only mean you're the first one born. Jesus Christ is the Creator of life. The Bible also says, by him all things were created. John 1:3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Right? Jesus Christ, the Creator of life. Amen? Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir over all things, through whom or by whom he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the Creator of life. And we still follow and believe the Trinity here. I don't understand all of it. All I know is that God's revealed himself in 3 persons, and that God, through the Son, created all of this. We believe in the Trinity here. All right, that's point number 2. Number 3, Jesus is the essence of life. John wrote, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The importance of these truths lies at the very foundation of life. It cannot be overstated. They determine your eternal destiny. In Christ was life. Not a life, not a lifestyle from which to choose from, but life. Think of all the idioms and phrases that comes with life. Double life. When you're mad at someone, you tell them to what? Get a life. Sad life, troubled life, short life, and some idioms. Large is life. We hold on for what? Dear life. Again, not on your life. Or the old TV show. Yeah, someone said it there. You bet your life. But Jesus is life. Much as he is the Word, he is life. Eternal life is found in the person of Jesus Christ. In him was life. In him is life. In him will be life. Eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when you die. It starts when you receive Jesus Christ and you're born again. You already possess eternal life. That's how when the Muslim comes in the door and says, "Are there any Christians?" You say, "Yeah, I'm one. What are you going to do about it? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got something you don't have. I've got what it takes to go walk into the burning fiery furnace. I believe God is for me and on my side." This is the evidence of your eternal life. What's the evidence of your eternal life? You'll walk into the burning fiery furnace and stay there. And then maybe some pagan will look in there and say, "Look, I see four men in there, and the fourth looks like the Son of God." That's what happens when you go through the fire. Apostle Paul said at the end of my life, it says, "The Lord stood by me and strengthened me." Number four. That would be Jesus Christ is the door. I guess we could say a door because there's 1,000 doors. But he's the door. He's the only one that leads to eternal life. "I am the door," John chapter 10, verse 9. "If any man enter in, or by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and go in and out and find pasture." Now, let me build on this last one here for a while. That is, of Jesus being the only way. He is the only way to find peace. You hear about peace all the time, especially this time of year, right? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace." If you're looking for true, genuine peace this Christmas season, then you've come to the right place. And look no further, because by golly, you found it. That is, Jesus Christ is the true Prince of Peace. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Also, Christ is the only way to find forgiveness of sin. Paul wrote, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin." Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 2:14, Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin." But not to worry. Now, you who were once afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus is the only way to have your sins not only forgiven, but as I like to put it, is the only way to have your sins obliterated. That's my favorite word when it comes to sin. That is, Jesus Christ obliterates your sins. Isn't it funny how we always remember them? And he doesn't, and he won't. Where does it say that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked that. That'd be Jeremiah 31:34. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more." It's a smaller one now. I was scaring the ladies in here with my, got one about yay big. Sharon sent me a picture of one that was like this. You should have got that big old gavel. I would have smashed this thing in two with that gavel. What a promise. God promises today to have amnesia with your sins. If we confess our sins, then he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the devil is the one who reminds you of them, not God. I mean, imagine this, fussing over sins for 89 years. And then you get to heaven and say, God, remember that day I did that? No. Imagine you wasted all that time fussing and huffing over sins that God doesn't even remember. You see, the death of Jesus Christ, it was a great significance. It was not meaningless. It wasn't willy-nilly. It gave God the ability to obliterate your sins, not to remember them anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. That excites me. How about you? Jesus Christ is the only way to have true joy. True joy does not come in a perishable Christmas present. True joy comes from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Personally. Intimately. It comes from having your sins obliterated, eternally wiped out and forgotten and gone forever. That Jesus Christ is the only way to have salvation. What's the best way for me to describe salvation? For me personally, it's to describe what the opposite is. To help get a better understanding of what it means. The opposite of salvation would be condemnation, judgment, ruin, and destruction. Salvation, then, would be the opposite of these things. Instead of condemnation, here it is again. We're justified and cleared, as we looked at last week, declared not guilty by the only judge that matters. And this judge can't be bought like the judges out here today. He's a righteous judge. He knows everything. Matthew 12:36, isn't it? It says, everything spoken in quiet will be speaking from the housetops. He knows all. He's a righteous judge. Instead of judgment against us, we have a judgment for us. Instead of ruin, we have restoration. This was his mission. God was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Instead of destruction, we have construction. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You are a work in progress. You're not destroyed. You are being built up. You are a construction zone. I once heard before, one day Billy Graham and his wife, Ruth, were driving down a road in North Carolina. And they saw this sign in this construction zone. It said, end of construction. And she said, I want that on my tombstone. And if you go up there to Charlotte, North Carolina, there at the Billy Graham Library, you'll find her tombstone. She's buried there. Ruth Bell Graham. End of construction. I like that. So it is with you as well. You are a work in progress. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just because you don't see the end result right now, you can't see the whole picture like God can.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
Now, why was Jesus born of a virgin? Is the virgin birth incidental, or is it mythological? No, it is ultimate foundational truth. Your eternal destiny rises or falls on the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, you could not be saved. Why? Had Jesus been born with a natural birth rather than a supernatural birth, he would have been a child of Adam, not a child of God. Had Adam been his father, then he would have been a sinner because he would have had Adam's nature. And the Bible says, in Adam all die. Now, had he been a sinner, he could have been no perfect sacrifice because he could have only died for his own sin. He could never have died for mine. But being born of a virgin, he did not inherit the sinful nature of Adam in his humanity. He had the nature of his father who had fathered and sired him, and he was absolutely, totally without sin. He was the Son of God without sin. Therefore, he and he only could be the sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. He was born of a virgin that I might be born again.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. What child?